Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two. Would have been a minute earlier, but he had to have the FedEx Cup update that he just cracked
all
over.
Nobody cares. Strike it from the update.
Well, you can't be on the record saying it's dumb, but then have to have it in an update.
Get it out. Also, you beat the White Sox. That's not update worthy. You know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. We'll put it in the update if you lose the game.
Red hot and rolling, those Mariners.
They are. You're doing exactly. They're beating up on bad teams. Keep doing it. That's fine. That's good for them. But, it's the White Sox.
A lot to get to in the second hour of this program. And it's a lot of football, actually.
Hell yeah, brother.
I mean, like, you know, when there's baseball stuff, we did a baseball segment today. I go home sometimes, I'm like, did we do enough baseball?
Yes.
I tend to agree with that.
Yes, we did. It's just baseball's tough. I think it's the one, it's similar to basketball, but the difference is we have an NBA team in our city and that people are following their teams. Hmm. And so if you're doing a random baseball segment, occasionally it's like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. But the majority of baseball fans go home, they watch their team, and then they go to bed. That's all you're watching.
Encouraging news for both Oregon and Oregon State football teams.
Oh.
I'll tell you what that's about.
Very curious about that tease.
We have the NFL back in our lives tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the AFC segment, actually. But before we do that, you can get a hold of the show, the station, at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. We're also on YouTube, the Odyssey app, and all the possible stations you can find at this point, 99.5 HD2, 1080 AM, and of course now 105.1 FM.
We're everywhere, dude. We're like the zombies in The Last of Us. We're coming for you.
We have massive show news to announce to start the second hour.
Oh, what do we got?
Once again, every Wednesday at 7:40 this football season, starting in 2 weeks, Josh Pate will be joining our show. Now, he's been a good friend of this program for about 4 to 5 years now.
Yes, he has been.
Saw him on YouTube when he has just about 20,000 subscribers, which was amazing in that moment to me.
There was a clip that he had that went viral talking about Mario's recruiting at Oregon.
Yes.
And it was like, who's this guy? He seems like he's a good college football guy. Let's have him on the show.
And he was great. We had a really good conversation with him. And now he's at like 300 plus thousand subscribers. And he just was announced yesterday of being one of this newest members of On3.com.
On3 is torching everybody right now.
Well, they're buying everybody.
They are. Our guest at 8:15 is also an On3 guy now.
Thank you. Look at that synergy. So we will have an On3 guest today with Brett McMurphy. But Josh Pate got to swag yesterday. We confirmed in 2 weeks, Josh Pate will start every Wednesday at 7:40, a weekly hit with Josh Pate. We're really excited about that. He loves college football. Obviously, Oregon in the Big Ten. We'll sprinkle in some Oregon State stuff. Don't take that personal. But we'll talk major college football, SEC, all that stuff with Josh Pate, who does a good job.
He is one of my favorites. I'm a P1 of his show. I think he does a great job covering the sport in a way that's not clickbaity. It's not, you know, headline grabbing. It's just, let's talk about college football and have some fun. We all love the sport. And so I love listening to him, and I love having him on the show, and I can't wait for that to start in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little AFC West. We got an AFC West team playing tonight.
We do.
We have a return game for Pete Carroll. And Brady Henderson will join the show at 9 a.m. today to give us a, I know it's preseason, but how emotionally charged is the crowd going to be? What's the ovation like?
I think you give them a good ovation, right?
I'm not expecting boos.
Yeah. Well, just stay there because the Mariners game's at 1 o'clock. It's a day game. So the Mariners game will be
you
rolling
You could double
out.
Dip.
You
That's
can double,
double dip.
Dip.
God, I hate Seattle.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
No, we don't.
Don't worry, though. The Blazers might win 39 games this year. That's coming. So AFC West stuff. I want to get to some dealings here since we'll see the Raiders tonight.
Yes, we will.
I'm curious to see. Also, Geno. Did we find out if Geno's playing?
I would be surprised.
I wouldn't at this point.
I wouldn't either.
Teams are going counterculture.
The ones that I've seen the Niners aren't planning on playing anybody.
Just Google
in game
Geno
one.
Smith preseason. Okay. I bet you'll pop up.
We'll see if he's playing tonight.
So I wanted to get to this. I got two clips. Let's start with this one. Justin Herbert had microphones on him, like near him. He's on the sideline with two offensive linemen, his starting offensive linemen. And they're having a conversation caught on a microphone. Now, Herbert is the slightly less heard guy, but you'll be able to understand him. And they were talking about a food combination that Herbert described as elite. And it was a little confusing for the lineman, but eventually he picked it up. And so I'm going to play this food conversation. You look at football guys and you go, I bet they're talking the X's and O's over there. Nope. They're talking about food combinations. And Justin Herbert was having one with his offensive lineman.
Did you know there's parts of the country that don't do tomato soup and grilled cheese?
That's probably true about a lot of places. We're just weird and have some crazy combos.
I feel like grilled cheese and tomato soup is elite.
Well, like, don't they put cheese on pizzas in Italy, right? Isn't it just the sauce?
We're talking about our country. In the United States, though. I'm not talking about other countries.
No, I understand that.
Then why'd you bring up Italy?
Because I'm saying we put cheese on our pizza. They don't.
I'm pretty sure the cheese pizza
was not the argument. But the argument was parts of our country do different things, and then all of a sudden you bring up Italy.
Oh, you're saying inside of our own country?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Or at least I feel like I've seen that on Instagram.
Well, then what are they eating grilled cheese with? It'd be crazy if you're just eating a grilled cheese. Imagine just eating a grilled cheese.
So, one, Herbert is kind of a little bit of a bully if you're stupid.
Hey, you dumbass. We're talking about our country.
Also, that guy was kind of dumb. Like, it was pretty clear on America.
Yes.
And he went, wait, only in America?
Why'd you bring up Italy? Yeah, we're talking about here. By the way, it has not been revealed yet whether or not he's going to play. Pete Carroll has not revealed it. He's keeping it a secret.
A magic hat of the NFL.
Will he play? Will he not? Tune in tonight.
So, I want two things here. One, Justin Herbert thinks grilled cheese and tomato soup is elite. And two, that offensive lineman laughing at the end and going, what, people just eat grilled cheese? And I just took this really personal. I hate tomato soup.
Yeah.
I think it's the most overrated thing that exists in society. I never eat a grilled cheese with tomato soup. I just eat a grilled cheese by itself. But now I feel like I'm maybe the idiot because Justin Herbert and his offensive lineman think that combo is elite, and you're kind of weird if you just eat grilled cheese.
Look, you know how I feel about Justin Herbert. This is a bad take. It's not elite. It's an acquired taste. Tomato soup is one of the most overrated things on the planet.
Not even close.
It's like not even a debate.
Yeah.
Nobody ever seeks out or wants to eat tomato soup on its own. And if you do, you're weird.
That would be more weird than just a grilled cheese.
If you just eat tomato soup on its own, you're weird. You have problems. Look yourself in the mirror.
I agree.
You can dip a grilled cheese in any combination of soup that you want. If you're a soup and grilled cheese guy, I understand that you prefer the combo package together. It doesn't have to be tomato soup. I do it with chicken noodle soup from time. You could do a million different soups, whatever you want, and dip your sandwich in. There's also nothing wrong with just eating a grilled cheese sandwich because grilled cheese sandwiches are delightful.
Especially if you know how to make them the right way.
Want to make it the right way. They're fantastic.
One, you got to get the right cheese, and you got to get enough cheese.
You got to put mayo on that bread. That's what you got to do.
No, you don't.
Yes,
no,
you do.
Dusty.
That's the best way to do it.
Let me shout this
Mayo's
out.
Mayo's the best way to do it.
I made one.
Just like your master sandwich that you loved.
Shut up.
2 weeks ago, Dusty, the brand man, came in here and said, underrated thing to do,
yeah.
Don't use butter on the bread. Spread mayo, not a thick layer. Spread the mayo and let it cook with mayo instead of butter. Because, you know, you got that some of that stuff in there. And he was right. I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. It was elite.
The tough part when you do the tomato, because I have had a grilled cheese and tomato soup before.
I don't like the combination. Is that weird? I love pizza.
That's not weird.
I don't like that combination.
No, the tough part is once I'm done dipping the sandwich, then I just have a bowl of soup that I don't want to eat. Then it's just a bowl of tomato soup.
Yeah,
it's like, why did I make all that just to have a dip for my sandwich? That was stupid.
Pull questions up. Is a grilled cheese and tomato soup an elite combo? Yes or no?
Yeah, not elite.
I don't think it's elite either.
No, it's an acquired taste.
Bacon and eggs?
Are you a tomato soup guy?
No.
Yeah.
Amen to you. Look at you with a good food take.
Finally, a good food take.
No, I'm right there with you.
No kidding. All right, let's get to this, too. And we can carry this over since we got a little AFC West stuff happening in our lives tonight. I can't believe I'm saying this. Yesterday was Dirt Was Right Day.
Uh-oh.
I did wake up going, I got football tonight.
You did, didn't you?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Whether they play or not, it'll be on your TV. It will.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson starting, dude. What if he throws like three picks in the first quarter? What's the reaction going to be?
Trade him.
You just die?
I'd throw him on the market. I'd say, yo, anybody want a reclamation project?
Fifth round pick? What do you get for him? Anthony Richardson. What did Lance end up going for?
Can Jalen Milroe be an NFL quarterback?
Jalen Milroe's going to play tonight, dude.
That's what I'm actually... Yes. Okay, we'll get to that. I was actually the most excited for that. I want to play this clip, and then we'll carry this over. Matthew Berry, who I quite enjoy, he's at NBC now. He had this on a roundtable conversation talking to a Chiefs person, a pretty high-ranking Chiefs person, off the record that he was able to share on NBC.
I was having a conversation with somebody at a very high-ranking organization, and it was a conversation with a group of us where I was asked, somebody else in this group asked me, like, you know, hey, who's my Super Bowl pick? I said, well, you know, listen, it's all the obvious teams, right? It's like, you know, and the AFC, it's the Chiefs and the Bills, and if the Bengals can figure out a defense, I think the Chargers are interesting this year. And then somebody else in the group turned to this person that's with the Chiefs organization and said, what do you guys think? And they said, honestly, we're worried about the Broncos. They were like, Bo Nix is for real, and that defense is amazing.
It's a great defense.
Like, we think the Broncos are real. And it was no disrespect to the Chargers. I don't want no bulletin board material. He wasn't saying anything bad about anyone else. He just merely said that in their division, like, they have a lot of respect for the Broncos in terms of that defense, and they think Bo Nix is legit.
Matt Berry, people in the Chiefs, more concerned about the Broncos in the AFC West.
Interesting quote. The defense is elite, and that'll make you fearful. If they're the best defense in the division, is that enough to carry them?
I do want to carry this over because I do find the AFC West, with the coaches they've acquired, I don't have a rooting interest in it, and it's, to me, the most fascinating division in football.
Yeah, the best division in football.
This is much like you poo-pooing the FedEx Cup in golf, which it's the best golfers in the world playing for $20 million or whatever.
Not all the best players, though, you know? All the live guys are gone.
So it's, okay.
You're missing about 20% of the best players in the world.
Can you just ever let me just have a clean tee set up?
That's why I'm out on the FedEx
Cup. Let me poke the holes in what you're about to say.
But I digress.
How often in the history of our lives in that sport have we had this list of coaches that are clearly all Hall of Fame go against each other twice in a season? And we have to find out who is going to emerge from that. Now, some of that's out of the coach's hands. I just find it very interesting. So I want to talk about that on the other side. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with a little more NFL talk. And then what is the thing that should leave Oregon and Oregon State fans pretty optimistic about this upcoming season? We'll get to that as well next on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So it's been well documented. This is the best division of head coaches in NFL history.
Yes.
We went over it because Swag was mentioning the old NFC East, and there wasn't crossover with certain coaches at the point. So there were some great coaches in that division at one time, but Landry fizzled out. I would say Landry was more like what Belichick is now.
Yeah, kind of an older version where you weren't, not the same mystique that exists maybe 10 years earlier.
But to be fair, even if I think he's going to create good culture and turn the tide for them, Pete Carroll might be Belichick too. He might prove to be just a dinosaur who has great energy but can't quite win anymore because it didn't end in Seattle extremely well.
I think until he proves it in Vegas, that's kind of where he's at in my head. I understand the idea of the hire. I'm not opposed to it, but I also, it wasn't great at the end in Seattle.
No.
And he's got the same quarterback that he had when he was at the end in Seattle, who's also older now.
He's a big believer in that guy.
Yes, he is.
And we'll have to wait to see if we see that guy make his also return to Seattle tonight. I'm excited just to see Pete Carroll run the sidelines of Lumen Field, and you know he's going to shake hands with McDonald and Schneider, and you know he's going to do all of that. And it's unfortunate it's preseason, but it'll still be cool to see him. I am the most interested in this division. I have no concrete evidence to say Chargers are better than Broncos, or Broncos will be better than Chargers. If you think that and you have the opinion, totally get it. If your fandom's tied to it, well, you're biased. But also,
yes,
you have no evidence that you're wrong or right now. It's all gut feel and trying to evaluate and guess.
That's the beauty of August football takes, man.
It is.
That's what's great about it. And we usually forget what we say.
I do think, and let's hold this one for maybe bad takes, I don't think the Chiefs are going anywhere per se. I do think it's a year where I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't win the division.
Really?
Yeah. I really am believing. I don't think Kelce is going to be great.
Yeah.
I loved how Xavier Worthy scored in the first game and everybody started laughing. And I thought he had a good rookie season, but yeah, people were acting like it was going to be elite level. And he had weeks there where it's like,
Yeah.
I think they're going to be good. Okay, they're going to get Hollywood Brown back. Defense, I'd expect to still be good. But I think the Chargers have built some stuff up here, man. And the Broncos defense might be top three unit in the league.
And here's the other part of this. It takes a team, takes a village, takes Sean Payton. You can say and preface whatever you want, man. There is mighty big expectation that have been heaped on Bo Nix in the last week or two.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that has come out from media members, from execs off record, like that Matt Berry bite, people are all in that this is without a doubt, he's the real deal. So it's going to take, okay, what you did last year, you're going to have to take that leap because this was C.J. Stroud last year. This is going to be Jaden Daniels as well this year of the good rookie quarterback. It's now coming in going, no, you can't just be same thing you were. You got to expand your game. You got to take that leap. And it just feels like the last 2 weeks, the expectations for Bo Nix are like elevated to a level that I guess I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would argue that almost every young quarterback kind of has that on their shoulders, right? Like you mentioned Daniels, you mentioned Stroud last year, Jordan Love, who's different because he sat, but he had that going into last year. Caleb Williams has the world waiting on his shoulders this year in Chicago. So I think a lot of young quarterbacks have that. I think the difference maybe between some of them is that we don't view all of the teams as legitimate contenders, and Denver feels like they have enough on their roster where they legitimately can contend. Hmm. And so you can't go through the growing pains of a year two quarterback if you want to capitalize on this roster. We also know the pressure that these organizations face before that big contract kicks in, right? Before that first quarterback deal has to kick in another year for Bo Nix if he has a good season. You want to try and capitalize on making sure you get it done while he's still on his rookie deal. The Chiefs point, I would love for you to be right on. Like, I am rooting for nothing stronger than the Chiefs to not have a stranglehold on that division. Herbert winning it, Bo winning it, you know, even Pete Carroll coming out of nowhere.
I think they'd be great stories.
Of course they're going to be good. They have gotten to the point for me where they are the new Patriots.
They're concrete.
And we used to do this every year with the Patriots.
Can the Bills do it this year?
Are the Dolphins going to come? And then you'd look up and they're like, they won 13 games again this
couple
year.
Couple years of the Jets, though.
And the Jets, they did it twice. And then New England won like 10 more divisions in a row. Like, it just, I have a hard time believing that somebody with a game on the line late in the season is going to go into Arrowhead and beat Patrick Mahomes to win the division. Teams have come close. They flirted with it. And I don't care about Travis Kelce. That might keep them from winning a Super Bowl. But from the week in and week out in the regular season, their defense is one of the best in the NFL. Their coaching staff is one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes is the number one quarterback in the NFL. And as long as those three things...
Not according to Madden.
Well, he is. But according to those three things, as long as they still have those... I'm going to pick them to win the division 10 times out of 10. I would love to be wrong on that. You know how I feel about the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of them, and watching them lose the Super Bowl was hilarious. But I fell into that trap a lot with New England, and I felt like I was more going into the year speaking with my heart than my brain. It was what I wanted to see. I wanted to see the dynasty come to an end. I wanted to see them not win a division, and every year they did.
I have no problem with Kansas City winning the division. By the way, Rasheed Rice coming back as well.
Yes.
Like, that was another thing that, like, I didn't mention.
They're going to be in one-score games every week, and they're going to find a way to win the one-score game every week.
I think the underrated part for them is they shored up their offensive line in their estimation. They signed some guys. They drafted Simmons. Like, they feel good about where they're at. They've signed some of their defensive dudes as well.
Yep.
I just it's not like the Chiefs are not falling off. I'm just saying, like, there's a scenario that exists where there's a tie, and a tiebreaker is the indicator there. Mm-hmm. I still expect the Chiefs to be great. Chiefs in the Super Bowl again? Yeah, dude, I'm not going to be like, oh, I never saw it coming. They're a great team.
Yes.
But I also think, like, why should I not believe that Jim Harbaugh, who I've seen have success on both levels, have the guys that are ready to take a leap? Herbert has had enough experience. There's no more, like, young quarterback narrative with Herbert.
No.
It's, dude, all right, let's start producing the big-time wins, right? I think that they have it, but we have to wait. Denver is now... I still think Denver's kind of being thrown a little quicker, but they certainly will have the defense every week to keep them in a game, if not steal games that even their offense may not play well. And if Bo does take that step, I have no reason to believe that Denver can't compete in it. So, and the Vegas Raiders are the biggest wild card here of all of it because they might be the thorn in the side.
Do they beat people they shouldn't beat?
7-10, 8-9, who might just go, the hell, they beat the living snot out of the Chargers this weekend or whatever.
Right.
That wouldn't shock me. It's kind of what I'm expecting. So I take my fandom and I say, I obviously have a team I root for, but with the NFL, what I love about it is the older I get, the more I can say, well, my team's banged to hell and they're 4-7. That sucks. Man, this story is fun. And I think the AFC West is the most interesting for me outside of like my fandom of what I'm rooting for, because it's just a Hall of Fame stable of who's going to beat who, mm-hmm. who's going to stay healthy, what quarterback's going to play really well, what quarterback plays, eh. That's the deciding factors in all of it. And so tonight, it's preseason. It doesn't really matter. But I want to see Jalen Milroe, because yesterday, Ben Solak is in traffic taking questions of ESPN, and somebody goes, what's your concern level of Sam Darnold with the offensive line in Seattle? He said an 8.2. Dude, if that guy, who I think is pretty smart, is telling you it's at an 8.2, Seattle might be interesting.
Yep, their offensive line is terrible again.
With Jalen Milroe, who is far more mobile than Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I would say that the toughest part, I don't disagree with the take on Darnold. They got to protect him. He's not great against the rush. We saw that at the end of last year. And their offensive line has not been good for a while, which is why the John Schneider extension was a little interesting to me. The AFC, the toughest part about it is I do feel like Denver is encroaching on that Texans and Packers territory from a year ago. They're just the trendy team to talk about.
I think they're there, man.
Like, they got a young quarterback who played good early in his career. Mm-hmm. The difference between them and Houston is that Houston played in one of the worst divisions in football.
Yes.
And they could overcome a bad offensive line and a lot of wide receiver injuries and just kind of cruise control their way to an above average season and make the playoffs. And then they put it all together for a playoff run, and they killed the Chargers, and they damn near beat the Chiefs in the divisional round. Denver doesn't have that benefit, man.
No.
Like, you could...
not going to be a week off in that.
Like, that's the hardest part about, like, the Herbert stuff. I totally get it. He needs to win a big game. He needs to win a playoff game. He's also in the same division with the best quarterback we've seen maybe in the history of the sport. And that's not an apples-to-apples comparison to other quarterbacks around the league. It's a very difficult thing to say, oh, yeah, you want to go win your division? You don't have to beat New Orleans or Carolina or whoever the hell else. You don't have to beat Tennessee and Jacksonville. You got to go on the road to Arrowhead in January and win a game. Can you do it? And it's just not an easy thing to do. And they have such a stranglehold on the AFC West, it feels like, in my mind, that I don't look at the Chargers and say to myself, where are they better than Kansas City? Is Jim Harbaugh a better coach than Andy Reid?
Oh, I mean, no, right? Not all the time. No.
Is Justin Herbert a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes?
No.
Is their offensive, maybe their offensive line is slightly better?
Well, wait. I mean, Kansas City really likes their offensive line.
Weapons
also
are kind of a wash, but they got Kelce to lean on, who's a Hall of Famer. Who's got the better defense? The Chiefs have been elite on that side of the ball.
The
like,
Chiefs, yeah.
There's still a lot of boxes that you check of, like, that's a better team, that's a better team, that's a better team, that's a better team, and maybe somebody surprises
us. But box was checked last year, and to Denver's credit, like, they were a blocked 20-some yard field
from
goal
beating
away
them.
From beating them in Arrowhead.
Yeah. Not winning the division, but from beating them in that one game,
right. So
without
that's all
a doubt.
I'm saying is, like,
Herbert's come close. He had a game, I think, last year. I can't remember. It was last year, the overtime game that Kelce scored the walk-off touchdown that they went to OT with him. Like, they've knocked on the door a million times. It's just a hard door to knock down.
I think acknowledging that a roster is better than another roster is fine, and that proves to, like, be what overtakes it. I think my point is that sport can be weird, and their roster was better than Denver's last year, and a random block 20-some-yard field goal was the difference between beating the Broncos at home and not.
Yep.
What was the record last year? The Chiefs, they were
15-1.
15-1.
I thought. Then they only lose one regular season game. 15-2.
15-2. That's right. 17. So
yeah. 15-2.
And I'm assuming they probably rested that last game.
I think the last, yeah, let me pull it up.
So they punted to get ready and healthy for the playoffs?
I think so.
So, like, the point is, sometimes the margins are that tight.
Yeah, 38-0 on the road at Denver, last game of the regular season.
That's right.
That was, Carson Wentz started.
That got Denver secured a playoff spot for him.
Their only other loss was on the road to Buffalo, remember, in the back-and-forth game, and then Allen ran in the touchdown on fourth down, and they lost 30-21.
It's going
to
be a fun division, man. And I know we'll have a little more Brady Henderson at 9 o'clock. I'm so looking forward to watching Jalen Milroe.
Yes.
I just want to see him out there.
It's a really fun storyline for tonight.
Pete Carroll return game. Brady Henderson, ESPN, going to join us. Why Oregon State fans should be optimistic about their football team. I'll tell you why next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Brett McMurphy on 3.com is going to join us at 8:15. Sad news to report. We waited a long time to say this. 7:37 exactly. No smelling salts today.
No.
Dirt's, to no surprising, shocking development, Dirt's Amazon package said it'd be there yesterday.
It did.
Of course, that got punted to this afternoon. Dirt's not in tomorrow.
Saying
so
Jeff Bezos is full of false promises.
I think he's full of false promises, okay. And I maintain the ability to retract all these statements if he buys the Blazers and builds us a new arena. I love Jeff Bezos, and your wife is beautiful, and your company is great. It has done no harm to society at large. But he totally screwed this up, and hopefully nobody steals him off my front porch because I'm leaving in a couple of hours.
You kind of need somebody, whether your wife or your family, when that package is announced or delivered, to go get it so you know you have it for Monday.
Should go snag it.
Do you know your neighbor? Have you met your neighbors?
I met the neighbors. I could text a neighbor.
Oh, you have a phone number?
Well, I got a phone number, yeah. They got a kid. They want to do a play date. They brought over their phone numbers. They got a kid that's right around the same age as ours.
I know of my neighbors. Like, we exchange pleasantries. I don't have anybody's number.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we moved to this neighborhood. We were very similar in our old neighborhood. A lot of olds around us. Nobody talked to anybody. I live down the street from a guy who I walk by probably 30,000 times on the sidewalk. Never once said hi to me.
Well, we say hi to each other. Yeah. Like, it's not, hey, how's it going?
This is a very, we're stopping and chatting kind of neighborhood.
You need to text your neighbor, though, and tell him to grab this package, because we need this for Monday.
We need the smelling salts for Monday.
Your vacation's ruining the show.
It totally
is. How dare you?
The timing of it was terrible.
I dove into the college football Netflix SEC show you talked about yesterday. I watched the rivalry week between A&M, Texas, and Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
I have not made it that far yet.
There's no Lane, there's no Sarkisian. It's kind of a bummer episode.
Yeah, that's dumb. I thought everybody was in it. And of all the people that could be in it, Lane and Sark are two of the bigger names in the conference.
Elko was cool. Yeah. He was funny. Red ass guy. And Mississippi State's coach seems like a nice guy, but they were
Jeff Lebby
so bad that I just didn't care.
Is he still there? I thought he got turfed, too. Did Jeff Lebby get turfed?
I think he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
They fired him after 1 year?
Did they?
Why would they do that?
Because it's Mississippi State? No, they did not. He's still there.
Yeah, I was just saying, I didn't remember him getting fired.
Jeff Lebby.
Anyways, I watched it, and it got me jacked for college football. Well, then I'm doing a little bit of reading, and I see this Ohio State news that we brought up earlier in the Magic Hat, that Ryan Day isn't sure who his quarterback's going to be.
Who could it be?
And you look around the landscape of the sport right now, Archie Manning's coming out with an interview. and it's going to circulate today. He's basically saying Arch will be the starter for 2 years. He is not leaving after this year, and he will be back next year.
What if he throws 60 touchdowns and no interceptions and 5,000 yards and wins every game in the Heisman Trophy?
I think he's going to be there next year.
No matter what
he's
does.
He's going to get paid the same as an NFL player anyway. He's got a great Kush life. He'll be in a good system. If he has a great year, he can have a great year next year.
Who's the team in the NFL that ends up having a bad year, kind of out of the blue, that makes you go, ooh? Because usually it's the other way. The number one team you don't want to go play for, and it's like, I want to, you know, wheel my way out of certain market. I don't want to go to Chicago, or I don't want to go to Cleveland. Like, who's the team out there? Stafford gets hurt, doesn't play at all, and the Rams end up with the number one overall pick. Does he change his mind?
No, the team that is most positioned for what you say, that I would say of note, it's a team that brought in a 41-year-old quarterback who I think is going to fall apart.
The Steelers?
Because this year will play out, and then next year they're just going to go, let's go Mason Rudolph and call it what it is.
Yeah.
We'll be okay.
The Steelers get the number one pick in the draft. You don't think he considers? You have
no,
to.
No, I'm talking about for next year.
For next year.
I think
draft,
this year they keep it above water, and they tread, and then Rodgers retires. And
this also reeked to me of something of, we don't want this to be a headline and a talking point all year, so I'm going to go out and say this, and if I'm wrong and he leaves, nobody's going to really remember.
You're probably not wrong there. Archie knows what he's doing in the media. But
let's just get everybody off his ass. He's about to start his first game on the road at Columbus.
But this is also a narrative that we've all kind of hinted at anyway. Like, I didn't need to hear from Archie Manning for me to tell you my opinion is that I think Arch is
probably
going to
back. Yeah,
he, by every account, he seems like he's a Manning. He's all in on the experience of college, right? His uncles did it. His grandpa did it.
He was willing to go somewhere where he knew he was going to have to wait for 2 years to play,
which is so unique for his name and his status of his recruiting class. So, like, that by itself is so different that I think he could have 35 tutties and 3,600 yards and come back next year and be easily the Heisman favorite, and Texas is the number one team again. And, like, I'm not going to be shocked by that. So I didn't need Archie Manning to say it, but him saying it publicly is like, if you're a Cleveland Brown fan today, you're really depressed.
Damn it! No!
But also, I bet you Archie would make him demand a trade the way he did with Eli if the Browns were on the clock.
Would, dude. I'm not going to Cleveland. Screw that, man. That organization's a dumpster fire.
Well, the reason I bring this up, I didn't get to it here because we ran out of time. Let's carry this over. Why should Oregon State fan, all of what I just said, why should they feel optimistic? It's for the same reasons, but almost in reverse. And I'll explain what I mean. Next on 105.1 The Fan. We'll get to the third hour of the program. Brett McMurphy coming up on 3.com. Got NFL preseason in our lives tonight. I think I scared an old woman yesterday.
You scared an old woman yesterday?
After the show. I think I startled her.
Oh.
by complimenting her, actually.
By giving her a compliment.
I felt that way.
Oh.
A little bit, yeah.
I shouldn't startle somebody.
Well, yeah, I'd have to explain more on that. I was teasing, we were talking Arch Manning. Archie came out and says Arch is going to stay in college, going to the 2026 draft, so he won't be a one-year starter and then bolt. We'll wait and see on that. So I actually think there's a scenario here where Oregon State fans should feel pretty optimistic about their seasons. I know there are question marks, certainly for Oregon State, who didn't have a great year, and there are question marks that you've highlighted for Oregon. But I think for the reverse reasons, both quarterback situations should make you feel optimistic about your team's chances this season.
Hmm.
Oregon State's is easy, right? Like,
yeah, it's an upgrade over whatever you had last year.
Tend to think you're going to be worse than 5-7, yeah. And so I'm optimistic that schedule should be 8-4, 9-3.
Yes,
because of Malik Murphy. Go look at Washington State. Without looking it up and without being a Cougar fan, can you tell me who their starting quarterback is going to be?
Levi Eckhaus.
Okay.
I mean, they haven't decided yet. They got an open competition.
All right,
I think
thank
it's Levi's his first name. I know his last name's Eckhaus.
Levi. Might be Jeans, might be something else. I don't know.
Is it Zevi Eckhaus? It's something Eckhaus.
My point is exactly this. Like, we're not certain. You look around the other teams they play, it's not like you look at the schedule and see a whole lot of intimidating things. So I think for Oregon State fan, you look at having Malik Murphy, you look at having your coach be your defensive coordinator again, you just look at another season of those weapons that had good years. Trent Walker on a Biletnikoff Award watch list, like Hankerson is back. I think those should leave you optimistic.
Zevi Eckhaus.
Zevi Eckhaus.
Zevi is his first name.
Okay. I think the other side of it is, much as we might wonder, how good can Dante Moore be or Austin Novosad? we know that they're going to have good offensive line play. Mm-hmm. We know that the front seven's probably going to be pretty damn good. They've gotten longer in the secondary. Dan Lanning has not, I think, really underperformed at all. He's had moments where it hasn't been great, but he's not underperformed in any way. He usually takes care of the slappies of his schedule. And so even if you're uncertain about Dante Moore, I think for the reverse reason, when you have Ohio State coming out saying we're not sure who our quarterback is, and we all thought it was going to be this five-star hype prospect, look around that schedule. And yeah, you got a Drew Aller out there, there's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the general nature of what sport Oregon is playing in right now with the schedule and the conferences, I think quarterback uncertainty everywhere should leave you optimistic because it puts you in a similar boat, and you know Lanning has established enough of a stable of talent where you don't have to panic about it because there's other big-time programs around college football that also don't have certainty at the same position. So you should feel optimistic, I think, about what the season could be. And the reverse is Oregon State's experience of the position with their schedule in their world should leave Beaver fan optimistic.
Well, and I think, too, for Oregon State, it's like no matter what you did, I guess there was a way you could downgrade, but it would have been very difficult to downgrade at that position from what you had last year. So no matter what you brought in, you were going to feel good about your situation because you literally couldn't throw the ball for half of the season last year. And when you're playing with one arm tied behind your back, it's very difficult to win games, no matter who your opponent is or how bad they are. And so Oregon State is obviously upgraded. The question for them is what level of an upgrade is it? Is it a guy in Malik Murphy who came into his own last year and now is going to play even better? Or is it a guy who maybe Duke was like, yeah, dude, whatever, man. We feel like we can upgrade without you, and you're just fine, but which will be better than what they had last year, but maybe not taking that next step or evolving into an elite college quarterback. I'm really curious to see how that plays out. But I agree with you that they should feel great because their situation at the most important position on the field is already upgraded,
settled
on day one from where it was last year going into the year, and that should be good enough to win more games than they did last season. And the best thing that Oregon has going for them going into the year, considering the quarterback situation, is twofold. One, you mentioned, and that is that a lot of programs are facing the same thing.
Yes.
Especially at the top of the sport. Outside of your Drew Aller, you know, Cade Klubnik, there's not a lot of them that are returning that are guys that are considered to be elite. There's guys that played last year or guys that started elsewhere and then transferred.
Yep.
But not a lot of returning quarterbacks that played at an elite level last year. The other part of it is that just makes me feel comfortable is that I do genuinely feel like the talent around them is going to make his life incredibly easy. Whoever it is, whether it's Dante Moore or Austin Novosad, that I think their offensive line is going to be good, and I think they're going to run the football a ton. And I think they love they love their running back room. I think Mekhi Hughes is going to be one of the breakout stars in the sport this year.
Still have Whittington.
Don't forget Noah Whittington good at the end of last year came on, finally looking healthy again. They love the stable of backs that they have behind. That's not even mentioning Lamar, Riggs, who came on, some of the other impact players. And so they got great depth there. They feel like their offensive line is good. And when you can do that, as we talk about all the time with quarterbacks at any level, if you can be balanced as an offense, it's going to make your life exponentially easier. And if Oregon can come out and show early in the year their offensive line is legitimate and we can run the rock against anybody, guess what Dante Moore is going to get all day? One-on-one looks on the – or Novosad, one-on-one looks on the outside with your young wide receivers. And so they have built a roster, I think, around the quarterback position where they're – in a position to thrive offensively,
they don't need
whether
to,
there's lumps early in the year or not.
I think Bo, with Dan Lanning's start to his career, they kind of needed to be reliant on Bo taking a leap from Auburn to be good.
Yes.
And then they bring in Dylan Gabriel. Like, I don't know if I think I said anything last year at Media Day and after that would have indicated in any way I was worried about. I may have said, like, is Dylan going to be as good as Bo, and is that going to knock them schedule-wise?
Right.
But I didn't even think he was as good as Bo in Bo's second year, and they still went undefeated and went to playoff.
They did.
I mean, Texas has Arch, obviously, right? There's a lot. I think he's going to be good. We don't have actual evidence of that as a starting week-to-week quarterback.
Right.
Ohio State is having a quarterback battle still with their five-star guy and a transfer. Georgia is bringing back a kid who maybe he will be good, and I think Georgia will be end up being pretty good, but you don't know.
No.
Notre Dame's going young on the quarterback
role. CJ Carr, freshman, yeah.
Alabama's starting a new quarterback.
Yep.
Like, Miami's bringing in a transfer who didn't end his career very well at his last joint. You just kind of look at the top 10 and 15 of college football.
It's basically LSU, Arizona State, Clemson, and Penn State.
And Penn State.
Anybody else I'm missing in there? I think that's about it. He said 10 seconds.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was on air.
He's counting you down.
But, like, I like Lenore Sellers.
Lenora Sellers is another good one, yes. Lenora Sellers was a stud last year at South Carolina.
Yeah, and we'll have to wait and see. And plus, like, I don't know. I think there's a world that exists where both of these programs, for their weird opposite reason,
yes,
should feel optimistic. And that's me laying it out. Oregon State has certainty. You heard Gundy talk about that when he talked of just like, yeah, man, it's a lot different this year.
We can throw the football. It's great.
I don't have Javonte McCoy anymore.
Yeah, talk about the opposite of loading up the box. What do you do against Oregon State? Put 18 guys in the box and stop the run, and you can't score on them.
And Lanning has built up such a stable of horses everywhere that, like, more might be a question mark, but so is that position at 8 to 9 other places in the top 12 to 13 of college football.
Yep.
So I think both programs should feel optimistic. Question marks, certainly, but feeling optimistic is something that I would say both fan bases should probably feel right now. We have a loaded third hour of the program. Brett McMurphy is going to join us. We'll talk some college football with him at 8:15. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague on the Odyssey app, 1080 AM, and of course, 105.1 FM, the Fan Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.